Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tap into your inner eagle. Yuengling Traditional Lager. Spread your wings.
Spread my wings.
DG Yuengling, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please drink responsibly.
I'm on fire.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's Unicorn Cash time on 92.9. Every hour, weekdays from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. And right now.
All right, this hour's word is gear. Text the word gear, G-E-A-R. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Again, your word is gear, G-E-A-R. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. I'll have another code word for you at 3 o'clock. One more time, this hour's word is gear, G-E-A-R. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Good luck.
It's 2 p.m. in Memphis. Giannotto and Jeffrey time. Get off the fence.
Get off the fence!
Mark Giannotto from the Commercial Appeal, along with Jeffrey Wright.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis's direct-hitting radio show.
The beautiful land in the world.
Giannotto and Jeffrey. Live on Memphis's sports station. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Giannotto and Jeffrey. I am Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter at jwright929ESPN. Joined by my partners in crime, Mark Giannotto at mgiannotto over on Twitter. Mark, good day, sir.
How are you?
I am well. Connor Dunning, producer of the program. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Glad to have all of you here. Thanks for showing up. We've now officially almost made it through a first week, so congrats to us. 4 out of 5. Here we go. So let everybody know what we got coming up on the program. The Daily Memphian released a story late yesterday that included some important details on events that perhaps led to Tom Bowen's resignation. Mark is going to have a column up sometime today. We will discuss...
Soon.
Yeah.
Soon.
Soon. ASAP.
It's written, I swear.
Mark has written a column. It has not been published yet, but we'll get into some particulars, some big questions that perhaps the story leaves unanswered, some questions that we'd like to see answered. We'll get into all of that. David Cobb's going to join us. David, of course, is the Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. You can go check out David and Mark's podcast over at commercialappeal.com, in which they discuss some lingering issues with the Grizzlies. You can always follow David on Twitter at David W. Cobb. Kevin Pelton unable to join us yesterday, so he's going to join us today. Top of the 3 o'clock hour. We'll get into the NBA with KP, and there's a lot more to get to in the second hour. However, now let's start first and foremost with the story that the Daily Memphian indeed broke late last evening. We'll get into Mark's thoughts on it. The former University of Memphis athletic director Tom Bowen denied Wednesday night that his resignation came about because of a letter of intent sent to the university president, M. David Rudd, last month, alleging behavior between Bowen and an unnamed individual that was, quote, a bit flirty during a women's basketball trip. In an April 16th letter with significant redactions, the writer points to several moments during the road trip that the author deemed suspicious. Bowen resigned from his position as athletic director 4 days later on April the 20th, according to a letter he sent to Rudd. So let's lay out the specifics of the case. An unnamed letter is sent either to the athletic department or to M. David Rudd, correct? Do we have specifics on...
Yeah, it was addressed to David Rudd.
It was addressed to David Rudd.
It was addressed to David Rudd.
So that letter...
Heavily redacted.
The letter that we have seen is, like, basically it looks like a modern art piece that you would see in a gallery in New York City that I would never go to. It's just a bunch of black shapes. like all over the place with the occasional word filled
in. It's to probably protect the writer's identity.
100%. To protect the not only the writer's identity, but to also protect, I would presume, the university from any names that were involved in that report that could eventually lead to further further litigation. I do not, for the record, I am not calling out the university for redacting that letter. That's exactly what I would do in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's not even necessarily, it's lawyer's decision to do that. It's legal counsel's decision
yes.
to do that.
100%. But back to the specifics of it. This letter is written and submitted on April the 16th. 4 days later, Tom Bowen decides that he will submit a letter of resignation. Now, what is significant about this is because you can speculate all you want, but if you just have this letter and Tom Bowen's resignation, you do not really have a story. If that is the only two pieces of evidence that you have, mm-hmm. where it becomes a story, as has been pointed out time and time again, the reason why it is a story is because the Daily Memphian asked for information pertaining to Tom Bowen's resignation, and this letter showed up with the implication that this letter had a lot to do with it. So that's where we are. That is the story. Now, Mark, where did you choose to go from there?
Well, to me, it's interesting because, you know, I spent part of last night speaking to people on both sides of this, Tom Bowen's side and the university side. And, you know, it's complicated because there's a lot of stuff that, you know, it wouldn't be professional to say it. You know, there's some things you think you know, but like in a situation like this, you cannot say it without absolutely knowing. And this is a case of right now of who you believe. You know, if you listen to Tom Bowen and he put out a strongly worded denial, you know, he says this allegation, this letter was never presented to him and that it had nothing to do with his resignation. Now, at the same time, based on the open records request that was placed, you know, you could also believe that he must have known about it because the university, when asked to produce documents related to his resignation, produced this letter. And so it really is a matter of who you believe. I think the overarching thing is that this is messy, and it might get messier. I don't think any of it's really that good for the University of Memphis.
Correct. So here was the specific wording of Tom Bowen's statement in response to the letter that was published and the story that appeared last night. Quote, on the cusp of me taking a new position, the decision to release a meritless letter that was never presented to me or validated during my tenure as the athletic director at the University of Memphis is dumbfounding to me and hurtful to my wife and children. The innuendos are categorically false and had nothing to do with my resignation. And I would agree with the letter's author that it appears petty. As a trusted leader in college athletics for over 25 years, being transparent has always been critical to my leadership. Thus, it was important for me to openly and honestly respond. Okay, here's what I did find. Here is where, if you want to be skeptical, if you want to be cynical, if you will, and you want to take the side of, this is a lawyer doing what a lawyer does, or this seems like a very carefully worded statement.
Let's be clear. He has hired a crisis communications specialist to help deal with this.
Please file that away.
Yes.
On the cusp of me taking a new position, the decision to release a meritless letter that was never presented to me or validated during my tenure as the athletic director. I want to focus on that specifically. And if you're going to take the cynical side, the cynical side says, well, that could very well be true. It could very well be true that that meritless letter was never presented to you or validated during your tenure. Because perhaps what if you offered your resignation before that opportunity came up? Is that a fair
I don't want to speculate.
What I'm presenting is a scenario that could have happened. Would you agree?
It is plausible.
Correct.
Yes.
Would you agree?
But
that
I don't want to speculate that.
I'm not
happened.
Asking you specifically, but I'm saying if I'm presenting a side of the story, if you want to take a cynic's view, that is one conclusion one could reach. Would you say that's fair?
I think if you, I think when you put out a statement like this, it is always very carefully worded.
Yes.
Exactly how you want it to be. So you can, it's buttoned up, so to speak, so that everything in there is true, but there
Correct.
Can also be another layer to the truth.
Correct. And if you're taking the cynical side, that is definitely a conclusion one could reach. Now, the other side is his statement says exactly what it says, which is essentially, I was blindsided by this. Would you say that's his,
Yes, I think that's his take on this. I mean, from what I understand, he did not actually read the letter or see the letter until Monday, from what I've been told. That is what I've been told. But, you know, like I said, I think it's, you know, I write in this column, and you should go check it out at commercialappeal.com when it'll be up shortly.
Dropping soon.
Yeah. I write this line. I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I don't know what to believe at this point. You know, it's all a bit murky. You know, right now, with the information we have right now, it's all a bit murky. But it's essentially, you know, because that letter on its own is, you know, the accusations in it are very, and the allegations are very innocuous. And even the writer admits that. They're very innocuous.
They're very circumstantial, and they're very...
They're assuming, they're jumping to conclusions based on observations.
It's extremely presumptuous, yes.
Based on observations. Now, I don't think there's any denying that it is kind of weird that 4 days later he resigns. But now, at the same time, I think he would argue, like, here's playing devil's advocate here, in that, you know, I think Tom Bowen might argue if indeed... you know, if you're going with the, you know, why would you, if this letter didn't mean anything, why would you resign 4 days later and resign
Correct.
Rather abruptly? And I think maybe Tom Bowen would say, you know, this was like the final straw, you know, because we all know it's a well-documented tension, maybe not documented, well-known, certainly around the
Yes.
university community, that there was tension between David Rudd and Tom Bowen, and maybe this, you know, and while this I don't think necessarily relates to David Rudd, this was just the final straw in him being yanked around by the university administration. But still, you keep going back to, you know, why would you resign so abruptly? If there was nothing to it, you know, why resign so abruptly and not clear your name necessarily? If indeed, because like you're, he's saying he was blindsided by this, but the fact that they responded to the records request the way they did, like, I just find it hard to believe that he had no knowledge of this letter.
Again,
it's like, who do you believe here? I don't know.
But in fairness, taking your devil's advocate scenario even one step further, you could even take it. Maybe it was true that this letter wasn't presented to him and whatnot, but he just kept hearing again and again, hey, stuff's coming up. They're looking into you. They're trying to get after you.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, you just go, "What? You know what? That could easily explain the 4 day period. Like, you just wake up one day and you go, I'm sick of this.
I'm done.
I'm out." And that's, I do think that's a reasonable conclusion.
Yes.
If you start hearing, like, you're basically saying, "I quit before you can fire me."
Yeah.
Because, and I'm sick of dealing with this on a day to day basis. Because I do think it's also important to note, university did agree to pay him through the length of his contract.
Yeah, it's not like it was for cause,
Correct.
So to speak. You know, like there was a
Correct.
It was acrimonious on a monetary level.
Correct.
But it is just, I mean, I don't think the typical fan, you know, I guess they're interested in it because this is all kind of tawdry and scandalous a little bit in terms of the insinuations here. But ultimately, like what I write in the column, what I think Memphis fans should realize is like this is, you know, maybe Tom Bowen will file a lawsuit. I don't know if indeed, you know, he does. He's up for the Southern Conference commissioner job. That's the job he's talking about in
Correct.
His statement. And if he doesn't get it because this letter came out, will there be more? I don't know. You know, will it be in his best interest to do that? I don't know. But I think in the end, this whole thing is going to make it a little more difficult for Memphis to hire a new athletic director because whoever – there was already going to be, I think, some questions in terms of David Rudd's involvement in the athletic department. And he was going to have to reassure any candidate that, like, hey, what happened with Tom and my involvement was more a result of, you know
– fairly or unfairly because of – Tom Bowen.
Basically, it was an athletic director he didn't choose and he didn't really see eye to eye with. He felt compelled to get involved. And honestly, in a lot of instances, it worked. I mean, like, him getting involved in the basketball search has worked out wonderfully.
100%. But to your point.
Now there's going to be an additional layer
that's
going to give a candidate pause little bit about this.
Because to your point, fairly or unfairly, David Rudd was already going to have to deal with an AD candidate. The perception amongst the athletic director circle is that you would be going to a school with a meddling president. Whether or not that's true doesn't matter, but that is at least a perception in the industry. Would you say that's fair? That Rudd is somewhat meddle. That's the reputation, whether or not it's true or not.
I think that is – I don't want to say meddle because
– Heavily involved.
Meddle comes off as a negative connotation. And I think – like I said, I think he would argue that he is involved because – he felt compelled to for the sake of the university in this instance. And it's not how he normally would act, but he felt because of – you know, his just not trusting Tom Bowen completely, he got involved.
Okay, so you mentioned it being messy in terms of the hire.
I think the fallout's going to continue to be messy, too, because I just think if Tom doesn't get this Southern Conference commissioner job because of this.
And I think that's unlikely.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we'll see.
I don't know if it'll be because of this, but I'm telling you right now, if you're making me bet whether or not he gets that job, I know which way I'm betting.
Well, I mean, with this type of headline out there right as they're making the hire, it's
not good.
It's going to be difficult. And I think because of that, you might see him, you know, will he dig his heels in? And that's where it becomes really tricky for the university. That's where it becomes really tricky.
Super tricky and super messy.
Yeah.
Now, this is another layer that I think we've kind of tangentially touched on, but I do think it's important. Okay, let's listen. I understand what the Daily Memphian did as a news outlet. They made their request for all pertinent information that led to Tom Bowen's resigning. This letter shows up. I find it highly unlikely that if the university really didn't want this to be included, I think there's plenty of legal grounds that would suggest this doesn't have to be included. And there, I guarantee you, there are plenty of similar instances in which universities have had very similar situations in a letter like this.
They didn't even wait the required amount of
time.
Like, they could have waited a lot longer
to release all this, and
they chose not to. They released it fairly quickly, it appears.
So, if you're an athletic director candidate and you already, again, fairly or unfairly, you know that you have a president that appears to be heavily involved in the athletic side, and then you see this story and you see the timing and the fact that this letter's included, that's also going to add another layer of murkiness, right? I'm not insane in thinking that, right?
This is all like, it's, I mean, we could go down a rabbit hole here, Jeffrey. We could really, I mean.
Now you're talking my style.
Yeah.
I'll be getting you believing in YouTube conspiracies here pretty soon.
Yeah. Someone start the Reddit thread.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. If we got our own Reddit page, I'd be so happy.
But here's what it comes down to. It's going to, I think more will come out in the next, you know, in the coming days, weeks. I just don't think this is the end of it. I really don't. I just don't believe at this point, if Tom Bowen loses a job over this, that he's going to take that lying down and just, you know, ultimately just allow this to be. But maybe he will, because ultimately, like I said, all of these allegations, like, if it ended tomorrow, say he doesn't get the job, it ends tomorrow. All there is there's essentially some innocuous accusations that might lead you to believe some things if you want to speculate, and a strongly worded denial about those allegations. And over time, I think people might forget about it. So maybe the smart move is to let this lie, so to speak, but it's going to be fascinating.
I think the fundamental question is going to be this. And I think everything hinges on this one question, which are these allegations merited or meritless? Because if they're merited, if they are...
Is there something more to them something more to them?
Because to me, if these allegations are, maybe they're not word for word or, you know, detail for detail true, but essentially, if the allegations are true, then what's, in my opinion, what is likely to happen is you don't really have a ton of ground to stand on if you're Tom Bowen. Because
the thing is these allegations are so hard to prove. One, they're like him getting, like, honestly, if you go through them one by one, like someone else getting a hotel room key for him.
Correct.
Like that happens on every college athletics road trip.
That's
a very common thing. Sitting next to each other at a basketball game, like whatever, having
not only sitting together at a basketball game, sitting together at a women's basketball game. That's not exactly like if you're on a trip where probably there's few amount of people, you're probably going to sit next to the one person that you probably know.
Yeah. And then what this writer construed as flirty behavior on the bus, but
correct,
admits that it might be a business conversation. Like, it's all like on the surface, just very like
the writer, even
whatever
the writer,
it's really the university's response that makes it a story. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's fascinating. It's also like when I wrote this, like, I really didn't want to write a column about this because it's like, you just don't know who to believe at this point. We don't know everything. We only know some of it. And it's all very like, I don't want to get involved in Tom Bowen's personal life. Like, I just want to know who the next athletic director is.
Right.
Like,
because,
you know,
at a certain point, that's not really your concern anymore because he's no longer the athletic director at the University of Memphis.
Yeah.
And to me, unless the reasoning for his resignation turns out to be something that involves the university today, it's not really your concern. And to me, basically what the university is releasing is documents that suggest Tom Bowen's personal life, according to the University of Memphis, Tom Bowen's personal life had a lot to do, significant amount to do with his resignation.
With when he resigned.
So therefore, that's not going to involve anything with the university moving forward in terms of your concern. So I completely understand that. I think what it really boils down to is what we talk about, we don't know who to believe. If there's one question you got to have answered that would help you along the way, what question would you like to have answered?
Did Tom Bowen know about this letter before he resigned?
Yes, I think that's, I think I, fundamentally,
I
that's
think we
it.
Need to know definitively.
Yes.
That's the question that needs to be answered. He says no. The school's response seems to suggest yes, but doesn't explicitly say that. Obviously, they just released the letter. Did he know about this? Did he know about the letter before he resigned? That's what I think.
I think that's more than fair, because if he did know about the letter, even if it wasn't presented, as his statement says, presented or, I'm trying to remember, it wasn't presented or verified.
Was he aware that there was a letter out there?
Right. Was he aware that there was a letter that made allegations that made him go, uh-oh? And if that existed, and then all of a sudden he decides he's going to really focus preparing for new job interviews,
that's
not good luck.
And I mean, ultimately, like, in the end, he elected to resign. If he elected to resign and didn't know about the letter, then you can say, like, well, you know, I mean, like, he's got a plausible, you know, there's a plausible reason for that. But if he resigned and he knew about the letter, like, if you were aware of a letter of this nature, why wouldn't you want to clear your name first before resigning? That's the central question to me.
Correct. And I think that's the central question, because as you point out, you don't know who to believe, because with that question left unanswered, the two most likely scenarios are both plausible. And,
oh, yeah.
And it's not like, okay, well, because basically at that point, if you're trying to speculate which one seems more likely, you're basically, you're going to have to apply some type of context that not everyone has. But in terms of if it is indeed true, that letter was never presented to him and he decides to resign, then his story.
Because let's get some background, to be quite
for
honest.
Sure.
Like, so I reported back in March his 6-month extension.
Correct.
But I have been, like, the reason that six-month extension came to be is I'd been poking around since, like, the end of January on Tom, because I had been hearing rumblings that his contract ran out at the beginning of June, and I had been hearing rumblings, like, when that contract's over, he's going to be gone. Like, he's going to leave the school. There'll be a mutual parting of the ways. And so I was pressing him and the school, like, hey, is there— you know, your contract's up in June. Like, are you going to sign an extension? Is what, like, and I think to basically get rid of me bothering them, that is why they agreed to a 6-month contract extension, that weird 6-month contract extension.
Mark, I've got to teach you business 101. You got to get a cut of that, dude.
Well, but seriously, I think,
I mean, at least 3%.
Yeah. But I think he'd been considering resigning for a while.
Oh, I don't think,
you know, he can say that
exactly,
reasonably.
Exactly.
As part of all this.
And then he just wakes up one day and just says, you know what? Enough's enough. That story's completely.
But the central question is, did you know when you woke up that morning?
Correct.
Did you know
you're resigning? When you woke up that morning, did you know you're resigning? Or did you wake up that morning, go have a meeting, and then decide, you know what? I think I'm done working today.
Yeah, or 4 days. Yeah, whatever.
Right, or 4 days later.
Whatever it is.
I guess more.
There's a lot of unanswered details in here, and maybe we won't get the answers to all of them, but I do think I would suspect there's a little more to this to come.
I would suspect there's more to this to come, and I couch it with the caveat, unless he gets the Southern Conference Commissioner role.
Yes, then
if he gets that, then I think you're not going to hear anything of it. But again, as I said earlier, if you're asking me to bet on whether or not he gets that job, I'm betting no. I'm not putting words in Mark's mouth. That is me speculating there. All right, let's get to more speculation, but let's get to speculation that's a little more fun.
Yeah, a little less tawdry.
Let's find out where we're going to trade Marcus, or I'm sorry, trade Mike Conley.
We've already traded Marcus.
We know where that one is. We traded him to the North. All right, let's figure out whether or not Gordon Hayward is going to wind up being a Memphis Grizzly. We'll do all of that and more with David Cobb when we come back right here on Giannotto and Jeffrey, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Memphis has been celebrating all month and enjoying everything that makes this city special. We just welcome the whole world into our backyard to cook out, but now it's time for us to grill up a Memphis original. So we're kicking off grilling season with Memorial Day weekend, and this is Gary Parrish telling you nothing sets you up for the perfect party like a fresh hand-cut steak from Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop. You know Folks Folly, right? The original Memphis Steakhouse? They serve incredible steaks every night, but what you might not realize is that you can have those very same steaks in your own backyard, as well as their ground sirloin, crab legs, lamb chops, sandwiches, pimento cheese, fresh vegetables, everything you could possibly want for a delicious cookout with friends and family. It's all at Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop right next door to Folks Folly. And it's so good, in fact, that Humphrey's staff is going to take off Memorial Day so they can enjoy it as well. So you need to take some time before the holiday to stop by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop at 551 South Mendenhall. It's the same address as Folks Folly. Or you can order online at humphreysmemphis.com to get everything you need to grill like a legend.
Fast, reliable internet. Is that important to your business?
We couldn't work without it.
At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, how about automatic 4G LTE backup for complete reliability?
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected and bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees.
I didn't know Comcast Business did that.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Advanced voice solutions at affordable prices. How about business TV that keeps customers entertained?
Okay, I'm convinced. But didn't you say something about a great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add 2 voice mobility lines and sign up for EcoBill and automatic payment. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without eco bill and auto pay offer in 6/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to update hours.
As a landscaping contractor, you know time is money. So go with the mower that delivers an outstanding quality of cut in less time. The Toro Grandstand. Not only is it the most comfortable stand-on mower available, it also features the high-performance TurboForce cutting deck. Available in 5 different sizes, from 36-inch to 60-inch. Ask us about the Toro Grandstand and special Toro financing. Count on it. Kalb Equipment, your pro cutter's headquarters. Kalb Equipment, 901-761-1300.
If you thought attending college while holding down a job was out of the question, CBU's College of Adult Professional Studies can help you make it work. We offer flexible 8-week courses to fit your busy work schedule and budget. And CBU has options to count work experience toward your degree, which saves you money. Contact us today at 901-321-3291 or visit cbu.edu/CAPS. That's cbu.edu/CAPS or 901-321-3291. Work on your degree while you work.
This is firefighter Raphael Poirier for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
If you're like me, you take walking seriously. So you wear Go Walks from Skechers. They're the only walking shoes I know that have the 5 ables. What does that mean? You want walking shoes that are comfortable, breathable, washable, adorable, and affordable. That's the 5 ables, and Skechers Go Walks have it all. They've got air-cooled Goga Mat insoles for lasting comfort. They're made with washable, breathable materials. They're adorable, and they're wonderfully affordable. They're very able shoes. Get Skechers Go Walks at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face, and there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
Giannotto and Jeffrey phone guests appear on the Landers Nissan phone line. Now, back to Giannotto and Jeffrey. Mark Giannotto,
lead columnist from the Commercial Appeal,
and 92.9 FM ESPN's Jeffrey Wright on 92.9 FM ESPN.
David Cobb is, of course, the Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. You can check out David and Mark's podcast over at commercialappeal.com on the Memphis Grizzlies. As always, follow David on Twitter at David W. Cobb. All right, Dave, tell me now, and I'm holding your feet to the fire, and this really matters. Where's Mike Conley getting traded?
If I had to bet, I would say Jazz, Celtics, or Pistons would maybe be my early front runners.
Why is that?
Mark, I don't want to have to talk to you. We talk on this podcast all the time. Now I have to talk to you on the radio, too. I'll answer Jeffrey's question.
Thank you. Why do you think that?
I'm kidding. Kind of. But no,
I'm going to
really
send a letter to the executive editor of the Commercial Appeal with some thinly veiled.
He's going to send a strongly worded email that I'm going to issue a FOI request and get a heavily redacted email.
Well, the
record knows I don't choose who I sit next to at Grizzlies games. Uh-huh. The Grizzlies media relations staff chooses that for me.
Yes.
So don't make any insinuations about my personal life based on the seating arrangement.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That
so,
was, by the way, I'll give you a 9 on that joke. That was good.
That was pretty darn good, dude. That was good.
I try. Okay, so looking at the Pistons, one, Ed Stefanski is their lead executive. He knows Mike Conley well from having spent time in the Grizzlies front office. I think there's a natural connection there, and you add in the fact that the Pistons expressed interest in Conley before the trade deadline. Then you look at the Celtics. It feels like there's a good chance Kyrie Irving is going to leave. Well, if you want a good point guard to come in behind him, somebody who will provide better leadership than Kyrie Irving provided, Mike Conley can make sense for them. And then the Jazz, I mean, I think are an obvious team to look at because They were heavily interested in Conley before the deadline, and the playoffs certainly proved why they could have used a point guard to make them better, because Ricky Rubio just didn't quite cut it.
So a lot of the speculation recently has centered around Boston. Is Gordon Hayward and a draft pick enough for Mike Conley?
Yeah, I don't know how it would work out on the money side for the Celtics, and I think there are some things to like about Gordon Hayward as a player, but that's a monster contract, that he's on. And so, I feel like if you're the Grizzlies, you shouldn't feel obligated to take on, big money, because, I think part of the allure of parting with Mike could be to free up some cap space or whatnot. So, unless you're going to get an awesome haul of draft picks or players on rookie contracts, I don't feel like they should be compelled to take on bad money. And I guess it's up to interpretation whether or not you view Gordon Hayward's contract as bad money.
Do you think it's an option to go into the season with Mike Conley still on the roster? Like, reasonably. Like, I'm sure if you asked them,
they'd say
that. It's
obviously a option, but yes.
But, do you think it's reasonable at this point to think they would they're going to turn down every offer? Like, they're not going to try and find the best one and try to deal him?
Yeah, it doesn't feel that way, but it's certainly reasonable and it's certainly possible, because they would still have, several months of him mentoring John Morant, and then could potentially look to move him ahead of the deadline. And that's still, well over a year before his contract ends. I know he has the early termination clause, but Mark, I know you're in the camp of thinking that, Mike Conley's not going to early terminate a deal and forfeit, $32 million?
34, I think it would be.
34, so.
But who's counting?
It's plausible.
Mike will.
I think so.
I would too. This is, I think, what's an interesting question. Okay, I think, especially with Boston, because all the reasons you lay out make a ton of sense, you obviously probably have to include Gordon Hayward in that deal to make the money work. I wonder, though, if Hayward winds up becoming a piece that you send to a third team to try and make money work, because I can't see the Grizzlies wanting Gordon Hayward because of really two main reasons. He's either going to play the four or he's going to play the three, and you really believe in your four and Jaren Jackson, and your three, I guess it depends on the coach, but you got to think they're somewhat committed to Kyle Anderson. And I wonder if there's that kind of belief, because I guess the other possibility is you move Hayward down to the four and you say, we think Jaren Jackson's going to become this new modern version of an NBA center, and we're playing somewhat positionless. But it almost feels like people are throwing in Hayward to make the money work, but I'm not sure it makes sense from the Grizzlies' perspective. Does that seem fair?
Yeah, maybe if Gordon Hayward finds his three-point shot again, he can be what you thought Chandler Parsons was going to be. But yeah, that's what I'm
saying. At least Gordon doesn't have any leg injury problems.
Well, the Grizzlies shouldn't feel compelled to take on that sort of money, though. That's a huge financial commitment that you're taking on with Hayward at a time when you're really close to freeing up a ton of space with Parsons' salary coming off the books at the end of next season, Conley potentially being gone, Valanciunas, maybe leaving after next season. So. I don't know. I just don't feel great about taking on his salary. So, maybe if Hayward's part of the deal, like you said, Jeffrey, they look to move him to a third team and flip that for something else.
Yeah, I guess I can talk myself into it. And I think this would be the case if you're the Grizzlies. Obviously, if you're trading for Hayward, you don't want to sell that you're trading for the Gordon Hayward that we saw basically up until March. But you're trading for the Gordon Hayward that, when the Celtics started looking a lot better the last half of the season or last quarter of the season and the first round of the playoffs, you're perhaps trading for that. But Mark made a great case yesterday that, I think you also started to see kind of that last 25 to 30 games in the NBA. If you're an above average NBA player, like, that's your opportunity to get yours, because so many rosters at that point they have, two way guys, and then everyone's kind of exhausted. The amount of carrying on certain nights is probably not at an all-time high. Like, I just find myself struggling to see how it makes sense from the Grizzlies' perspective. But on the flip side, who do you think in terms of trade partners for the Grizzlies? Because I think you very clearly laid out partners that would want Mike Conley. I think that seems fair. What type of teams out there do you think have assets that the Grizzlies would perhaps want?
I don't know. I mean, if you want to talk about Detroit, I mean, would Luke Kennard be somebody they'd be interested in? Luke Kennard and a first-round draft pick? You know, something like that, I think.
Nope.
40% three-point shooter.
Yes. For Mike Conley, this is – to me, this trade for Mike Conley has to give you – like, this is your last – you have the number two pick and Mike Conley as, like, your assets. So you're going to get Ja Morant. Like, to me, this Mike Conley deal has to set you up, especially because you're going to probably convey your next first-round pick or a first-round pick to your
round. Yeah, I mean,
this first-round pick's got to set you – this Mike Conley trade has to give you some, like, real assets. Like, Luke Kennard as the centerpiece of a Mike Conley trade? I don't think –
what kind of centerpiece player are you going to get in a deal from Mike Conley?
I'd rather have Gordon Hayward than Luke Kennard.
I'd rather have a white guy that doesn't wear hair gel. Both these guys are too much hair gel for me.
I wouldn't. I mean, I don't know. I'm just thinking they're going to get, like, to me, the deals they had at the deadline are better than that Luke Kennard deal.
Well, I think the first round pick you would get from Detroit could really lessen the sting of having to convey one. And, I mean, maybe you get the second round pick that you traded away in the Justin Holiday deal back as well. I don't know, but I'll
Luke Kennard is going to be, like, ultimately is going to be, you're essentially trading for, like, your seventh or eighth man on this roster. I don't think he's a starter.
You're basically trading for another version of kind of Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. There's a reason I write about these things, and I don't do them for a living. And, you know, at this point, it's so open-ended. Everything is so up in the air with this Grizzlies team. It's almost, I mean, granted we do it and it's fun and I'm not complaining, but there's so many questions that have to be answered before these are even legitimate discussions because, I mean, for one thing, the Grizzlies don't even have a coach yet. They don't even have the first hint, really. I mean,
it's okay. They would fire him in 2 years anyway. It doesn't really matter.
I was going to ask you, though, David. So when do you think – This whole coaching search has been a little murky. They've been to their credit, very, like as Jason Wexler put it, they're going to be buttoned up, and they seem like they've been much more buttoned up than usual on this coaching search thing. When do you think, if you had to guess today, when do you think this hire is made? Do you think it's made before the draft? Do you think it's made before summer league? Do you think it's made, you know, going into July? Do you think before free agency? Do you think after free agency?
No, I think it's got to be made in the next couple of weeks because if you value – unless you're just totally content and totally fine with Jonas Valanciunas walking on his player option, I think you have to make the trade – or the coaching hire, excuse me, before – at least a week before June 13th because that's when Jonas has to make his decision. And you need a coach in there who can – have time to formulate something of a vision for Jonas Valanciunas to give him the information he needs to make his decision. And I'm going to keep saying that until they blow past that date, but I'll say June 6th, they need to have a coach in or would
June 13th or 6th? Is it 6th?
Well, June 6th would be when they would need to have a coach in there because I'm thinking they need a week for whoever this coach is going to be to.
So that's exactly. So you're saying in the next 2 weeks? That's exactly 2 weeks from today, June 6th.
Yeah, I mean, who even knows where Jonas Valanciunas is right now? This guy might have to get on a plane and fly to Lithuania to sit down with the guy. I mean, and if you value him, and if you value the return that you got in the Marc Gasol trade, a huge trade for this franchise, then you need to treat Jonas with respect here and give him an opportunity to figure it out before he has to make that decision.
It's kind of funny you said that. Randomly just looked up Lithuanian cuisine. I want to what the new coach would eat with Jonas Valanciunas.
Feels like some type of like sausage and potato.
So apparently a delicacy over there is mushroom cookies.
Oh God, my girlfriend would love that.
Sounds disgusting.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Zeppelins.
Love that band.
Yeah. It's like fried cooked potato dough. That's what that is.
Okay, so I wasn't that far off.
Fried bread. It's called
Now we're cooking with gas.
Captaduona is what it's called.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Captain Crunch, but it was like, that's pretty much fried bread.
Beetroot soup.
the finest of fine cuisine.
Chilled borscht. Yeah, that's very Russian. Mushroom cookies are called gribukai. G-R-Y-B-U-K. I went off on a tangent here, but I kind of like this. Fried curd cakes, those sound awesome. Oh, it's a cousin of like Wisconsin cuisine.
I was
gonna
say I took one of those this morning. After Starbucks.
Too much. Mm-hmm. Too much.
Mm-hmm. By the way, all right. No, David David, Mark owes you an apology, and I'm going to explain why Mark owes you an apology. Okay, when we were discussing that Luke Kennard deal that you just pointed out, it makes more sense than I think Mark's giving credit. And I'm not saying it's a deal I would do, but it makes sense that a deal that perhaps they would do. Number one.
Would you rather have Reggie Jackson?
Well, you're going to have to probably include you're going to have to include some salary in
right,
the deal.
Right, but here's the reason why I'm saying it makes sense. Because I think of all the things we can't figure out about this front office, I do think the one thing that we could probably say is young player, first round pick. That seems to be something that they would be open to taking. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so the plot thickens. Luke Kennard, late lottery guy. You're not going to obviously get like a top five guy from the year before, but he's a 12th round pick, and then the plot really thickens. Guys, he played at Duke. Where did Zach Kleiman go to school?
Maybe.
So I'm not,
be some epic hair flips. Kennard is on the team. He's a hair flip guy.
Hey, listen, that's what the best are. Yeah. Listen,
Mark, you're just jealous.
Yeah,
I can't hair
flip. I can't.
I'm going to stop wearing hats in the studio and just flip my hair the whole time just so that Mark just gets, like, red in the face. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
I'm glad you guys are off to such a good start.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you do you have a front runner for this Grizzlies? You have maybe not a front runner. It's too, like, murky. But of the guys who've been sort of rumored – who've been reported as interviewed for this head coaching vacancy. Do you have a favorite?
In fact, Mark, you had a good point on the podcast yesterday. I'll take the field being somebody other than the six names that we've heard at this point. If I had to put money on it, I would take the field because I just keep circling back to the way this Cavaliers search went, and there were a dozen names that had been bandied about in that search. Really good beat writer at the Plain Dealer in Cleveland was all over it. He had all these names. Two days before they hired Beilein, you know, there was this story on the Plain Dealer about all these different coaches that the Cavaliers were interviewing. And then 2 days later, out of left field, nobody in Michigan knows about it. Nobody in Cleveland knows about it. The Woj bomb comes that John Beilein is going to be the next Cavaliers coach. And I'm not saying it'll be of epic proportions in that way with the Grizzlies, but if I had to guess, I might say that the next coach will be somebody that we haven't heard connected to this job so far.
In fairness, I don't think that's that unlikely. I mean, for God's sakes, they trotted out Chris Wallace and JB Bickerstaff on the media day of the season ends, and then everyone's expecting, okay, well, at this point they're going to be back. Like, now, what's their plan? And then at 3 o'clock that Friday afternoon, then we got the Woj bomb. Like, that's basically the same script.
Yeah, and just like Mark said, this front office has been good at playing things close to the vest. I think in that case where they've trotted those guys out there the way they did, they were maybe a little too good at it. They maybe should have just gone ahead and made the move beforehand. But, you know, because I think what's happened here, and this we discuss on the podcast, is in all likelihood, the names we've heard, the six names we've heard, have been floated by agents. I mean, I've had some of these agents confirm the names to me, and so they want – it's in their best interest as agents and for their clients, for the rest of the world to know that, hey, this guy interviewed for an NBA head coaching job. He's a hot name. And, you know, the truth may be that they're not actually getting all that serious of a look from the Grizzlies. I mean, Sarunas Jasikevičius, as much as it pains me to say this because of how much I was looking forward to having Lithuanian cuisine at games next year, sounds like he doesn't even think that he's in the running anymore, you know, based on some things he's telling people in Lithuania. So I still think this thing is pretty open-ended, but I do know that it's picked up steam this week. And, I mean, I would think that they would want to have a guy in place before Jonas's decision date on June 13th.
As you point out, we know they've interviewed six candidates primarily because their agents have let us know that they have interviewed six candidates for the reasons you just laid out. How many, if you had to guess, and I'm obviously not holding it to you, but if you had to guess how many other candidates that have interviewed that we don't know about, how many more people do you think they've interviewed?
I mean, just based off of how other coaching searches have gone, I mean, I would say that maybe four or five more that we haven't heard of, maybe up around 10. I mean, that seems like a reasonable figure. But the one thing I'll say, too, about this is I think Tayshaun Prince has played a really active role in this coaching search. I mean, the report was that he met with Sarunas Jasikevičius. He played AAU basketball with Jerron Collins. He worked with Adrian Griffin, or played under him when Griffin was an assistant elsewhere, I believe. So there's all these connections, and a lot of them circle back to Tayshaun. And so I think that he's had an active role in this. But, you know, so that's something to think about, too, is who else does that guy know, and who might he think highly of?
Rasheed Wallace.
Larry Brown.
Larry Brown, you heard it here first.
Rasheed just got the high school job in North Carolina. Maybe he's ready for a bump up.
Yeah, I mean, Penny can go from East to University of Memphis and land the number one recruiting class. Who's to say Rasheed Wallace can't, you know, come in here and win an NBA title in Memphis?
Rasheed on the sideline would be good.
Who else could we have? What's Chauncey doing? Did Chauncey? I know he wanted
Chauncey's
front
on ESPN.
I know, but he wanted front office jobs, right? But does he want a coaching job?
What about Ben Wallace?
Yeah, Ben Wallace, maybe.
What about Rip Hamilton? Would he wear the face mask on the sidelines? Oh, my God. I'd be so in on that.
That'd be funny.
What if they just hire Tayshaun? If they don't have a coach in place before summer league, maybe Tayshaun's the guy.
That's what I wanted your alma mater to do. When Phil Fulmer came in at the 11th hour and took over as the AD, I wanted him at the very end and say, you know, this has obviously been a trying time for the University of Tennessee. And I've interviewed a lot of candidates, and the truth is I've reached the conclusion that the best candidate for this job is me. We're getting the band back together.
If Tennessee doesn't make a bowl game this year, watch out.
Oh, God.
Well, that was my other thing. Like, he kept, like, that was even after he took over, and then people were still turning it down before that, and then you kind of got a lot of candidates that really no one was excited about. That was when I really thought Fulmer was just, he was plotting like the ultimate of, all right, I'm just going to keep tossing out these people that no one's going to get excited about. Because like Tennessee fans got really unexcited about Dave Doran. That was a name like that was leaked to it for a considerable length of time. I really thought we were getting close to where Fulmer was going to take over. But you're right. Maybe what he did was hire the assistant that you don't believe in. And then when it's truly, when Rocky Top is truly at its weakest, that's when our dark night comes and saves the day.
Fulmer comes back to save the day. Honestly, Jeffrey, I've tried to block that Tennessee coaching search completely out of my memory. I've got a T-shirt in my dresser that says, I survived the Tennessee coaching search. And survived is the right word. By comparison, this Grizzlies coaching search is a lot more fun.
So one last question. With this coaching search, and you mentioned Jonas, do you think it matters? Like, do you think it matters who they hire? Do you think as long as they have a coach in place, Jonas exercises the player option?
No, I do think it matters who they hire, because I think that if the person they hire is going to subjugate Jonas to the type of role that Nick Nurse had for him in Toronto, then he may be more interested in going playing somewhere else.
You don't think the new coach is going to tell him what he wants to hear, you know, during this meeting? Like,
I would imagine that one of the hallmarks of any NBA head coach should be honesty. That's what the Grizzlies should be looking for among the traits of the coach they're going to hire. And if Jonas, you know, doesn't get a satisfactory answer, why waste the season here playing a role he played in Toronto on a team that's not going to contend? I mean, he seems like the kind of guy that wants to win or wants to have a key role, and preferably both.
Do you really think there's a scenario where he's not like the starting center on this team if he picks up the player option?
No, I mean, he could be the starting center on the team, but still only play 20 minutes a night like he did in Toronto. I mean, that's essentially what was going on there. I guess he was kind of getting phased out a little bit of the starting lineup there. But, I mean, I think that he could be the starting center, but then they roll with Jaren at the five so much and have Bruno or Kyle playing the four.
Gordon Hayward.
All depends on how this – it all depends on how this coach wants to play. And if I'm Jonas, I want that information before I make a huge decision about my future.
I see. You talked me into it. I don't know if it was last week, maybe the week before. I still think the most likely outcome is Jonas just opts in because he can't leave that money on the table.
Yes.
And I think what the coach impacts is the coach impacts whether or not he extends.
Yes. That's correct as well. I mean, I think that he definitely wants the information now, but I mean, he's not in a bad place if he comes back and he's uncertain. Because if he's not certain about it, he doesn't feel great about it, and it goes the way he expects, all he's got to do is you know, be an unrestricted free agent next year, and he'll probably be one of the top centers on the free agent market next year, and which would not be the case this year. So, I mean, that's a wise decision for him. But at the same time, if you know, he's represented by Leon Rose, who's a veteran agent who knows how to play this game, And if Leon and Jonas feel like they can get him on a contender that's going to give him as big or bigger a role this year in restricted or in free agency, then why wouldn't we opt out?
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Cobb.
That is David Cobb of The Commercial Appeal. As always, go check out David and Mark's podcast over at commercialappeal.com. Go follow David on Twitter at David W. Cobb. Before we break, I want to let you know we got a little bit of news coming to us. Breaking news right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. It's always powered by radio.com sports. It's brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. The AutoZone Liberty Bowl has announced the time for this year's game, December the 31st, 2019 at 2:45 Central Standard Time. Of course, the game will be broadcasted on ESPN. The Big 12, the SEC are currently the tie-in. So it'll again be on New Year's Eve this year. Of course, this year's game was between, or I should say last year's game was between Missouri and Oklahoma State, another SEC Big 12 matchup. But again, December the 31st, 2:45 local time, a nice little New Year's Eve kickoff for the Liberty Bowl. Again, breaking news right here on 92.9 FM ESPN, powered by radio.com sports, brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals is tonight. Kevin Pelton has also written about some draft prospects. We'll discuss all of that. We'll get into the all-NBA teams with Kevin Pelton, as well as a chance to win $1,000 unicorn cash coming up, as well as Kevin Pelton. Stick around. You're listening to Giannotto and Jeffrey right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine for Sleepy's East, 2790 Kirby Whitten Road, corner of Kirby, Whitten, and Summer. Sleepy's East mattresses and furniture by Michael Zellner, where they never have sales like other mattress or furniture stores because their prices are always 50 to 80% below retail prices every single day. Now, you can get a 10% discount on anything in the store when you mention our radio station, this radio show, any radio host or producer, they'll give you that extra 10% off. What's the difference in Sleepy's East? Well, it's service. It's taking care of people. That's what Michael Zellner does. And his staff can help you find the furniture that turns your house into a home. Stop sleeping on a lumpy old mattress. Stop sleeping on a busted up old couch or looking at bad dining room furniture. Check out the great selection. Serta Eye Comfort, Serta Perfect Sleeper, Simmons Beauty Rest Mattresses, furniture by the signature design by Ashley and Benchcraft. And you can even make your own pillow at the Phil Station Pillow Kiosk. Sleepy's East, 2790 Kirby Whitten Road, corner of Kirby Whitten and Summer. Call them today, 692-6200. 692-6200, Sleepy Z's, where you never wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the pizza sub collection. How do you want it?
I'll have the best man speech.
A toast to the perfect marriage of pizza and sub at Subway. Nobody thought it would work out. No offense, but seeing you two together proves anything is possible. You want a supreme pizza sub? Go get it. Pepperoni, why not? Triple meat, it's just right. Because at the end of the day, it's still pizza on the inside. Subway, make it what you want.
Sorry, it's the red onions.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Better weather means better barbecues. That's why your Academy Sports and Outdoors in Collierville, Olive Branch, and Wolf Chase are helping you get ready for grilling season with Barbecue Academy. Starting at noon on Saturday, May 25th, learn the best techniques from professional pitmasters on how to make your meals taste amazing on the grill, regardless of what type of grill you use. Enjoy delicious samples. Plus, find exclusive savings on your barbecue essentials with hot deals on gas grills, smokers, griddles, and more. Academy Sports and Outdoors, your outdoor cooking headquarters.
Harvard versus Horn Lake. Come see Gary Parrish and Jeff Calkins duke it out grilling style. Outdoor Living by Memphis Pool in Collierville is hosting their very own Jeff and Gary in a grilling competition June 1st from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Come out and enjoy sports talk and grilling ideas and see who wins. Purchase tickets for a drawing for a ceramic Kamado Joe to be announced on June 1st. $10 gets you one drawing for the Kamado Joe. All proceeds going to the LeBonner Children's Hospital. June 1st from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Outdoor Living by Memphis Pool. 468 Highway 72. Collierville.
So it's Jeff Calkins here for Cooper Systems. For the longest time, my former employer wouldn't let me do endorsements, so I couldn't tell you that I'm a Cooper Systems customer myself. True story. When my laptop got all tangled up with viruses, I went to Cooper Systems. When I needed a reasonably priced laptop for my sons, Cooper Systems. And why not? For more than 30 years, Cooper Systems has been serving the computer needs of Memphians. Got networking challenges? Cooper Systems can plan, design, install, and maintain your network. Need help with data recovery? Cooper Systems experts can handle that. Crack screen? No problem. Oh, and if you're in the market to buy a computer, Cooper Systems prices are typically half the price of big box stores. They've got big name brands like Apple, Dell, Hewlett Packard, Toshiba, Lenovo, and more. And if you're a gamer or know someone who is, like my sons, Cooper is the best in the city at building and customizing a complete gaming system to fit your needs within your budget. So call Lee and Lauren Cooper at 360-9679. That's 360-9679. Or just stop in and visit them in the Mount Moriah office park.
Psst, down here.
Hey, Amy. Welcome to the Xfinity store. Why are you hiding?
Cameras and microphones are everywhere, even in my house. What if I'm hacked? They're watching me.
Oh, with Xfinity XFi, you don't have to worry. It gives you enhanced security for your Wi-Fi network, so all your connected devices are protected, including mics and cameras.
Oh, that sounds great. Can you imagine if we were actually being recorded right now?
We are being recorded for this commercial.
Oh, I trusted you.
If it's connected, it's protected with Xfinity XFi. That's simple, easy, awesome. Ask how to get download speeds up to 400 megabits per second, or even faster, up to a gig. Learn more or get started with Xfinity.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.